Welcome to It's the ADHD Friendly Show, where we explore all things productivity, well-being, and living our best damn ADHD lives at home and at work. My name is Karen McGill. I'm a certified ADHD life coach, and I'm here to help you do life better. Y'all, at least 50% of the clients that come to me do so because they want to start a business. A lot of them want to be ADHD coaches or coaches of some kind, or they want to do some kind of online venture that will give them, hopefully, more freedom and flexibility and a little extra income. And I think that's great. And I love helping entrepreneurs start something for themselves. But the reason they usually seek me out is that something is holding them back, whether it's fear of failure or judgment or not knowing where to get started. There's a lot of internal stuff going on that they feel like if they could just figure that one thing out, then it's going to be smooth sailing going forward. And that is actually not the case. So in today's video, for those of you who are interested in starting business, I think there's five realities that you really need to hear and absorb and understand before you start this venture. So this can be a bit of a tough love conversation, but I think that these points are really important. And very often, these things aren't mentioned in your training program, whatever school you go to. And we don't hear about it enough in conversations and social media because entrepreneurship is often very glorified in social media. So these things generally don't come up. And I'm not saying any of these things to discourage you from starting a business because this has been one of the most gratifying things I've ever done in my life. But I do want you to see what's ahead so that you can prepare yourself for it. And that dovetails beautifully into the first point about setting the right expectations. And let's kick this off with a quote from an ancient Greek person whose name I cannot pronounce. We do not rise to the level of our expectations. We fall to the level of our training. So what do I mean by that? When you are fresh out of coaching school, you're probably a little trepidatious to get started, but you're excited to be a coach and you spend all this time, money, and resources investing in your coaching skills and you are ready to get out there and start a business and do your thing. And I think that is awesome. But here's an expectation that I don't think is set clearly enough as you're coming out of school. A coaching business is just that. It's coaching and it's a business. And when you're starting your business, it's actually far more of a business than it is a coaching practice. That means for the first 6 months to 2 years of your business, at least 75 to 100% of your effort is going to be focused on sales, marketing, finance, building systems, acquiring tools, things like that that have nothing to do with coaching clients. Now, the common roadblock that I see in my business is that a lot of new coaches, they don't want to put themselves out there. They're afraid of marketing. They're afraid of sales. They don't like dealing with numbers, and they don't even know what systems to get in place. So 6 months down the line, when they don't have any clients, they start thinking, well, maybe this coaching thing just isn't for me. They might be the best coach in the world, but in reality, if they don't have any business acumen, then it makes it really hard to get started and bringing clients in the door. And that is the exact situation that I want everyone to avoid. I don't want you to assume that you're not a good coach because you don't have these specific business skills. But I also don't want you to hold the expectation that you can somehow avoid or outsource all of this entrepreneurial skill piece and make a significant headway in a coaching business because they really do go hand in hand. So when I start talking to my clients about the entrepreneurial piece of building their business, it's always sales and marketing that seems to get people hung up. They're afraid to put themselves out there. They're afraid of rejection. And they think that if they can just outsource it or maybe do one or two campaigns or, you know, some Facebook ads and business cards, that the customers will start to flow in. And when it comes to a coaching business specifically, that is absolutely not a case. A coaching relationship is a personal relationship. Folks like to know, like, and trust you before they hire you. So generally, we're not opening the yellow pages and looking for the first coach that we come across or the cheapest coach that we come across. We select a coach because the things they talk about resonate with us and we like their vibe and we think that they can genuinely help us. So it's really important to set your expectations around marketing, that you will have to put yourself out there. It doesn't necessarily have to be on Instagram, but you are going to have to put yourself out there again and again and again. Marketing is never a one and done thing. And sure, as you start to grow in your business and work with more and more clients, you can start to rely on things like testimonials and referrals and things like that. You have to put yourself somewhere. And generally, the best place to do that is by putting yourself out there on social media or starting a podcast or doing a YouTube channel or something like that. And if the thought of doing something like that is an absolute non-starter for you, I would highly recommend that you explore either trying to finding a regular job where you can use your coaching skills or just use your coaching skills in your personal life and with your friends and family. But if you are absolutely reluctant to embrace sales and marketing, then having a coaching business is probably not the right choice for you. Truth number two, when you're getting started, forget about setting goals and focus on systems as well. I love this quote by James Clear. You do not rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems. So let's say you're just starting out and you've embraced the entrepreneurial bits and pieces of your business and you are ready to get going. And you're scrolling through social media one day and you see that some other coach has bought some system or program and they had a six-figure launch in their first 6 months of business. And you think, whoa, that is what I want. I want to get hit six figures in my first 6 months of business or my first year of business. That is a big mistake. And I'll tell you why. When you're starting out, you have no historical data on what's possible for your business. You don't even really have like a fully baked approach to your customer and your pain point and all those things. You're playing with putty. And this can be a really fun stage of the business. But if you then dump an arbitrary revenue goal on that first year of business, then automatically your focus goes from playing with putty and refining your messaging and your client offer and those sort of things, which are fundamental to your business. And instead, all you think about is this goal and making this dollar figure. So you start throwing things at the wall to see what sticks, and some things work and some things don't, but you don't really have a clear message and you're not entirely sure who you're talking to. And your offer is like still a little half-baked. So maybe you make a little bit of headway, but things don't work out because your client's a little dissatisfied because it wasn't the right fit. So then you have to start all over again. And by the end of the year, you've probably not hit the revenue goal. You've probably got a few dissatisfied customers, and you're probably feeling very disheartened about the road ahead in your business. So my recommendation to you is for the first 6 months to 2 years, don't worry about goals. Worry about building the foundations of your business, which is a clear customer avatar. You know exactly who you're talking to, a clear pain point that they have that they're willing to give you their hard-earned money to resolve, and a clear offer that resolves their pain point and does so in a way that is accessible for them and reasonable for you and also profitable for you. So those three things are the foundation of your business. And I think that a lot of new coaches think, oh, I got to post something on Instagram, but I don't know what to post. And it's because they have no idea who they're talking to, what their pain point is, or what their offer is. Then on top of those foundational pieces, you want to start building systems. So for example, a very basic sales and marketing system is considered your sales funnel. So at the top of the funnel is where you're bringing in leads, whether it's on Instagram or YouTube or wherever you're interacting with your ideal client. That's how they're going to get to know you. And once they're into the funnel, meaning they get on your email list, because absolutely every successful coach has an active email list. So now they're in the middle of your funnel. They know who you are, but now they need to get to know, like, and trust you. So this generally happens by sending them regular emails, and it can be something very simple, but it has to be valuable and relevant to your client and their pain point. So once they've been getting your email every Friday or every Tuesday for a couple of months, they start to realize that, you know, you're serious, and they start to know, like, and trust you. They may not open all of your emails, but they always see you in their inbox. They happen to see something that you send out and it clicks with them, right? It resonates with them and their pain point that they're dealing with in the moment. And they're like, oh my God, this woman knows exactly what I'm talking about. I need to listen to her. And that is where they drop into the bottom of the funnel. And that's where they go from being a fan to a paid client. And then at that point where they put down their hard-earned money and made a purchase, that's when the sale begins in their mind. So now you want to think about, when somebody buys, what happens automatically? What are you sending them to assure that they made the right decision? How are you onboarding them? What is that experience like? How are they going to book appointments with you? How are they going to know when to contact you or how to contact you? What's the experience? Because they have no idea what happens next. So at this point, you want to have a system in place for delivering the best possible experience to that client from the first meeting to the point where they complete their engagement with you and move on with their lives. There has to be systems in place for that. And they don't have to be perfect on day one of your business, but this is where you want to be putting your energy and focus. With every new client that you get, you want to be looking for areas where your client experience might be a little bumpy, so you're constantly improving it. And you also want to be looking at your sales funnel. What messages resonate? Where are people buying my services? Is it happening from my website or from my newsletter or social media? Like, where do I make my conversions? These are all of the things that you want to be focused on before you start setting goals for yourself. And once you do that and you have this in place and you feel confident about the systems you have in your business, then at that point, you can start focusing on accelerating your marketing initiatives to start bringing more and more clients through the systems that you've already built. Tip number three, absolutely build a business that is right for you. If you have finished a coaching program and the expectation is that you're just going to book up your schedule with one-on-one appointments, but you're an introvert and Zoom literally sucks the life out of you, I can guarantee you're going to hate that business within the first 6 months because it is not aligned to your energy or who you are. Likewise, if you decide to be a content creator and an educator and you're not talking to people on the regular basis, you're just always in your office creating new content, but you're an extrovert and you crave being around other people, I can also guarantee that you'll start to hate your business in less than 6 months. And you might be thinking, I would never build a business that I hate. Let me tell you how easy it is to actually fall into that trap. Because as you're building your business, you're probably looking outside at other people that you admire and that you admire their business. You think, wow, it'd be really cool to have that business. So you start modeling whatever they do. Maybe you take their courses or you just sort of reverse engineer their business. And then after a while, you start to realize that the business you're building may have been great for them, but it actually sucks for you. And there's no way you would have known that until you actually gave it a whirl. So here's what I would recommend doing instead. Resist the urge to look at other people's businesses as you start building your own. Go inward and really give some thought to the person you are, whether you're an introvert, an extrovert, the situations you like to be in, your strengths, your needs, your values, all of the things that make up who you are, and then start building your business based on that foundation. And then when you have that foundation of awareness, as you start looking at other entrepreneurs that are out there doing things in the world, you can start to pinpoint which role model would work for you and which one wouldn't. So for me, I generally look for other solo entrepreneurs who value time freedom and not having appointments on their schedule to see what they're doing. And within that confine, there's always a bunch of different business models you can choose. And when I go to hire business coaches or look at purchasing business courses, because I'm always learning, you have to keep doing that in this business, I'm looking at the people behind those programs. I'm not looking at the outcomes of those programs as much as I am looking at the people behind the programs. Are those people I resonate with? Do I think they're in integrity? Would I like to have the lifestyle that they have? And two people that I have personally found that are a hell yes for that is Justin Welsh, who is a very successful solopreneur. And the other one is actually two people, Jason and Carolyn Zook. They run a group coaching program that I've been in for maybe almost a year now. And I think their work is exceptional. They're high in integrity. I've learned so much. And most importantly, their values around running a business align very closely to mine. So that is how I choose business mentors. And I highly recommend you do the same. I think you're going to be a lot more pleased with the outcomes you get in your business. And to that end, I do have my own short program that I developed for ADHD entrepreneurs to help you understand who you are as an entrepreneur and what kind of business would be most aligned to your personality and your strengths and things like that. And then it will also help you build those foundational pieces around customer pain point and offer. And I also share all of the systems that I have built in my business should you want to build a business that looks somewhat like my own. So on that note, let's jump into truth number four. This is more of a tip. Absolutely, when you're starting your business, create very clear boundaries and do not move away from them. What do I mean by that? When you first start your business and you start getting paying clients, you're probably just thrilled that you have clients. And you're going to be very likely to accommodate those clients as much as you can, because all you want is the gold star, right? So let's say, for example, in your coaching contract, it clearly states that if a client misses a call, that they can't get reimbursed for that. And I'm assuming you're always getting paid in advance of your calls. But then you have a client who, you know, missed an appointment and they didn't realize that they couldn't reschedule at the last minute, or something came up and they gave an excuse and said, oh, please, can we just sort of, you know, let this one go? So you let that one go. And then it happens again and it happens again. But what you're doing is devaluing your own service and your own time. And you're also devaluing the investment that they paid for the coaching container in general. And the more you allow them to skate the edges of your boundaries, the more you're going to start resenting your business. You might be afraid they're going to lose that person as a client. But a client who pushes your boundaries is not a client that you want to have in your business anyways. Also, you want to be modeling the right behaviors that your client is probably coming to you to cultivate in themselves. So please don't be wishy-washy with your boundaries. And if boundaries feel a little punitive to you and you're uncomfortable setting them, I want you to reframe that. Boundaries are a great thing to have in your business because it not only protects you as a business owner, but it also gives your client a very clear idea of what to expect. Remember, when they buy from you, they have no idea what to expect. So if you come in with clear communication about how and when you're going to be available and what you expect of them and what they should expect of you. It puts everybody at ease. You want to make sure that those boundaries are very clearly stated on whatever sort of sales page you have. And you also want to make sure that they're listed in your contract as well. And then there's no uncomfortable conversations that need to happen when your clients assume something that wasn't actually the case. Know what your boundaries are and stick to them from day one. This is like rule number one of self-care as an entrepreneur. The last truth I want to share with you is somewhat biased to the way I like to run business, but I think it's important for every new entrepreneur to think about. As you're starting your business, you may have in your mind a vision of having a team, and that is fantastic. But if you're starting a business as a company of one, as most of us do, I highly recommend that you start investing in tools long before you invest in a team. What do I mean by that? One of the beautiful things about running an online business, especially today with this advent of AI, is that there's so many tools out there that are affordable and easy to use and will help you produce whatever it is you produce in your business at scale and with a lot more ease than you would have done 5 years ago. Let's take, for example, in my business, my top of funnel, the way people find me is through YouTube. And YouTube is more than just recording a video and putting it up. There's a huge editing process in between there. So instead of hiring an editor right away, I invested in a tool called Descript, and it can literally edit an entire video all by itself. It can also pull out social media captions. It can write a blog post based on your transcript. It can give you a podcast based on your transcript. And those are all of the things that I do in my business using that one tool. I think I spend like $30 a month on that tool. And as far as I'm concerned, they can take all of my money because they save me hundreds of dollars in editing fees. Another tool that I use to manage all of the bits and pieces of my business is Notion. I do all of my content creation, planning, coordination in Notion. I build templates around all of the activities I do in my business repeatedly, whether it's a sponsor contract or a template that I use to create my videos. Everything is templatized, which dramatically reduces the amount of busy work and just repeat things I need to do in my business. I think I pay like $10 a month for Notion, and it saves me at least 4 to 5 hours a week that I would otherwise have to pay a virtual assistant $20 an hour to do. So this is what I mean about investing in tools. Once you know what your systems are and you found the right tools that can help you automate those processes, you free up so much more time that you can spend doing other things in your business or that you can spend enjoying your life. And by the way, one other tool that I just recently came across, if you are a new entrepreneur and you're just getting started in business, there's a tool called Engie. I will link it below. And basically, it's like a productivity tool with a built-in marketing AI assistant. So if you've never done a marketing campaign before, or you've never picked brand colors or figured out what your brand voice is, this tool will not only walk you through how to do it and help you create it, it then stores all of that information. So it knows your customer and the pain point, the messaging you like to use. So, and as it starts to build this intelligence around your business and who your customer is, you can then get it to write blog posts for you or social media posts or create a marketing campaign to launch a new product. So it will do all of that. It's then going to break down all of the step-by-step tasks that you're going to need to do to actually execute the campaign. It'll put it in a nice little calendar for you. So on Monday, you want to do these three things, and on Tuesday, you're going to do those three things. It's brilliant for anyone who wants to start a business, but there's so many moving pieces and they're just overwhelmed and they don't know where to start. And it also stores and organizes all of your business information, like contracts and brand colors, all of those things. And it is so easy to find them and retrieve them and use them and not have to be constantly looking for them like I used to spend so much time doing. So anyways, those are just a few tools that I use. But the point here is to focus on tools before you start building a team. Make sure you know how to do every job in your business before you hire it out, so you know exactly what talents and skills that you're looking for. And hopefully you've been able to record some of the processes that you've created, so you can then hand off to a virtual assistant or whoever you hire first in your business, and they can just hit the ground running. So those are five things that I think are really important to know and embrace as a new entrepreneur so that you don't get overwhelmed or disappointed when your expectations aren't met and that you build the business that you want to build. So I hope this was helpful, guys. Thanks for listening, and I will see you in the next video. Bye for now. Do you struggle with way too many ideas and no clear plan of getting any of them done? Is overwhelm paralyzing you from moving forward with your dreams and goals? Well, you're not alone, my friend. That was me too for the first 50 years of my life. But once I had my diagnosis and a concrete reason for my lack of follow-through, I went ham on trying to find a way to manage it. And that is exactly what I did. Today, I am organized, I'm thoughtful about what I take on, and I am living my best ADHD life as a result. Now, I'm not saying it's perfect, but it is intentional, it's consistent, and I have a lot more peace because of it. And I want that for you too. Distraction to Action is my short, fun productivity bootcamp designed especially for the ADHD brain. It is loaded with ideas and tools based on the latest research on how our neurodivergent brains work, and it can help you unlock your own ADHD brain so that you can focus on what's most important and finally follow through on your juiciest goals. Find a link to the program in the show notes or go to itsadhdfriendly.com/D2A. That's letter D, number two, letter A, which stands for Distraction Action. Head there now to get your focus on and become a follow-through ninja. Now back to the show. Thank you for listening. For links and resources for this podcast, please visit itsadhdfriendly.com or click the link in the show description. Please also be sure to subscribe so you get automatic updates when new shows are posted. And of course, please do leave us an ADHD-friendly review. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.